Two Feminist Mormon Housewives. I am your co-host, Cami, and we are doing a new segment and starting a new series called Now, Narrating Ordain Women. And we're just going to be having some short 10 to 20 minute spotlights on people who have posted their profiles on ordainwomen.org. Our hope is that by hearing their voices, there may be a bridge of understanding for those on the opposite side of this issue. Our intent is not necessarily to bring conformity and to make anyone change their mind, but to rather bring understanding and communion between both parties. So I have with me my hostess, my other hostess, Vicki Johnson. Vicki, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, I'd love to. Hi, Cami.
Hi.
So I'm Vicki Johnson, and I am a mother of four children. My children are grown. My youngest is on a mission. She's in Mexico. And I have two grandkids. My second son is married for almost 7 years now and has two children. Absolutely love the church. I grew up in the church. The church is my home. I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I love it. So is there anything else you wanted to know about me, Cami?
So we had discussed this earlier, but I think it might be important for people to know. Do you desire the priesthood?
I do not. I came to the issue. I started hearing about it in the summer. My reaction to it was, obviously there are women here who really care about, they want the priesthood, and those are my sisters. And if my sisters care about something, then it matters to me. And then beyond that, I could hear pain. I could hear on the side of the ordained women, I could hear that they were feeling shunned. It sounded like pain to me. And I was like, when there's pain, those are my sisters, and that matters to me. If my sister hurts, then I hurt. And I just spent a lot of time trying to understand where it came from and why it was a problem.
I remember you told me, you said, you know, if somebody wants to know about the Book of Mormon, they should read the Book of Mormon, right? And so why wouldn't you go ask somebody who's interested in ordained women, ask them, you know?
Right. I've always felt that way as a Mormon. I've always wanted to know why, if you wanted to know about my church, why don't you ask me or another Mormon or the missionaries? Let us tell you what we think and feel and why we believe what we believe, not somebody who's against us. And that's the same way I felt about my sisters. And that is the thing I need to get over very clearly. I may not want the priesthood, but I am 100% an ally to all my sisters who are part of ordained women, because you're my sisters and I don't want you going anywhere. I want to understand.
You know, I cannot tell you how much of a healing balm that is to me, because I've really received nothing like that since this has begun for me. So I just think it was so serendipitous we came together, and I really appreciate you helping me to interview this first one that we're doing, which is going to be on why I posted my profile on Ordained Women. So thank you, Vicki. And thank you for your love. You know, we don't have to agree, but certainly we shouldn't shun people out. So on either side.
Yeah. You're welcome. That's how I feel. I don't understand it.
Well, let's see if we can be the prototype for these two different opinions coming together and just being in love together. Okay, this is going to be our first one, and I will let Vicki ask me a few questions. It's just pretty brief. We're just going to explain a little bit about why I decided to put a profile up on Ordained Women.
Okay, Cami. So what I'd really like you to do is start by telling me about you. I would like to know who you are and your career and your life. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, thank you. I grew up my whole life LDS and very, very active. And when I was 18, I decided to find out for myself if I wanted to stay in the Mormon church, and had a wonderful experience feeling that this was definitely the place I needed to be. So ever since then, my whole adult life has just been nonstop activity in the church. And I've been very happy with that. I usually have held several callings and just absolutely have loved working with the saints. I come from pioneer heritage on both of my parents' sides. I have some wonderful journals from my great-grandmother who helped to settle Orderville, Utah, and they lived the United Order there, and I would often read her journals. I am the oldest of 14 kids, very Mormon. I grew up in the South in the Bible Belt, and currently I'm living in northern Nevada up by Tahoe, and I am a divorced mother of a 12-year-old girl. And I am also going back to school to get my master's in counseling.
Wow, Cami, that's quite a bio. Okay, so Cami, why did you put up your profile on Ordained Women? And when did you do it?
Okay, last year around March, I was at the grocery store at Walmart, and I was checking out my food at a self-checkout line. And I just had this brief thought, and it wasn't anything I was trying to think about. In fact, I was listening to an audiobook that had nothing to do with the priesthood or the church. And I saw myself with my husband giving my daughter a blessing. And it wasn't like a future thing. It was like present, like right now. And all this light just kind of, like, I just felt really happy with it. And it went away, and I just kept doing my groceries. And then I saw it again. And I saw myself putting my hands on my husband and giving him a blessing. And like I said, it wasn't like sometime in the future, it was right now. And the feelings that came over me when I felt that were so overwhelming. I was really trying not to start crying while I was checking out at Walmart. And when I finally got to my car, I kind of let the tears run, and I remembered my great grandmother's journals and the wonderful things that she talked about with the women giving blessings, not because the men were gone, but because that was something that they were able to do, to give blessings to one another and also to their husbands. And they had wonderful people like Zina Young and Eliza R. Snow come down and teach my great-grandmother while she was in mutual. I'm not sure what they called it then. But just these things were just known. So I'd always known this was part of our Mormon history. I just had never put myself in that situation of, oh, I could actually be doing that, until that thought came. And it just filled me with a lot of peace. I felt joy, kind of like a person. The only thing I can describe it to is when I was told that I had the blessing to go over to the Holy Land at the BYU Center. And it felt like a mission call to me almost. It was so wonderful. That's how I felt like. So I didn't think more about it. I thought, wow, what a wonderful spiritual experience. And went about my day. And then I got up the next morning, and the first thing I did was I checked my emails. And I saw one from Feminist Mormon Housewives that had, it said, Ordained Women. And it just stood out. I was about to delete it, and I popped it open. And the whole title just freaked me out, because I was thinking back in the 70s where I grew up of these women who, got a little radical and chained themselves to the temple gates at one point. And it scared me, because that's what the first image that came in my mind. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is just anger. This is fighting against the prophet, is what I felt. And then I'm like, wait a minute, what did I just see yesterday that brought me all that joy? And I sat with that for a minute. And so I thought, I'm going to at least listen to what this is about. So I opened it up. And there was Kate Kelly's video. And everything she said was so spot on. And I felt that feeling again, like I did at Walmart the day before. Like I felt like my whole soul was saying, yes, yes, it's time. It was so happy. And I immediately said, I want to submit a profile. I got an immediate response back, and I just typed that up with tears coming down my face. And I was so happy to send that out, because I had seen what that felt like. And had I not had that experience before, I would have been very closed to it. But it was very serendipitous. And I also, one of the reasons why I put my profile up on Ordained Women was I was very particular. I did not want to submit anything to somebody who was petitioning the church with a petition to change it. Rather, I wanted what they were doing, where they were asking in a reverent manner, would you please gather as a quorum, as you are supposed to do with continuing light and knowledge for our church, and fast and pray about this specific topic and convene together about this. I thought that was so reverent and in such accord with how the church works. That to me, when I saw that, I knew that I could put my profile on there and that I was in good standing. That was what I did. That was what happened.
Wow, Cami, I'm so moved to hear that story. I have read the stories, you know, several stories of the women, of Ordained Women, and it's so different to hear it in person, to hear your experience. Because see, you're saying the serendipity, and you know what? I just keep thinking of the word that Sister Carolyn Pearson uses, the synchronicity of it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I'm so moved. The synchronicity of you having that experience at the store, and then the very next day, I'm really, really touched by that. Makes me really understand better why it's so important to you. And to hear you talk about your grandmother, yeah, it makes me want to go read all those. I came from Pioneer Heritage also, and it makes me want to go read and find what mine says.
I know. And that's really
wonderful.
That's why I wanted to do this, because I think people, we might make a statement about how we feel about it, but when you understand why somebody puts it up, it's different. It's not angry women who are protesting. It's women who are saying, here am I, Lord, send me. I'm ready.
Can I tell you a little thing about the synchronicity for myself?
Yes.
When I was trying to decide whether I could actually do this, whether I was brave enough to actually talk to you, interview you, knowing that, you know, whether one person listened to it or 50, it would be out there. Do you understand my question?
Oh, yes.
My point?
Yes.
I started to pray. And you know what? It was just so, how can you even ask? You know, why would you even ask this? Because what have you been saying since last summer when I heard about this? This is the thing I say over and over. Why can't we just ask them questions and listen to them? And I say to my husband, I will come in and I will be crying because I will have read something that I consider mean or hurtful to have happened to one of my sisters in Ordained Women. And I'll be crying and I'll say, if Jesus were here, he would gather those women up and he would say, tell me what you think. Tell me what you feel. I want to understand you. That's what I think Jesus would do. And my husband will just, you should hear his softening, you know, from the person who says, oh, wow, that sounds like the angry women, you know, he said, because of the way you reacted to it, I was able to see, oh, that's not what these women are doing. And that's really been a real testimony to me. So bringing it back to the synchronicity, I said, Heavenly Father, is it okay if I do this, if I interview Cami? And he was like, you've been asking for this, and now I've given it to you, and you're going to ask me again? I gave it to you, so... I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yes,
I hope it does.
It does. It does. Thank you.
Okay, so I have another question for you.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Yep.
So, Cami, I want to know about the reactions that you've experienced. And I want to know not just online reactions, but I want to know reactions that you've experienced personally, even if they're painful, okay?
Okay. Well, I didn't really make it known for a while. I kind of kept it to myself, even though my profile was up there. And I think I was like one of the first, I don't know, I know I was within the first 100 people to get on there. I was very excited about that. But I didn't really make it known because I didn't want to deal with all the anger. I knew people respond so angrily when something's not the correlated kind of thing that they're expecting. And so I kept it to myself. And once in a while, I would post something, just kind of a little bit of a nugget here and there. And I kind of hoped that my friends would want to have dialogue in a kind way. But even those things were vehemently attacked by my friends. And I just kind of dropped it, let it go, and just loved them and went to church. And I have just had to pull away because it has come from a place where nobody wants to hear. They just, I don't know how they see me. They're not seeing me. And so I just stay away. Last year, I met Kate Kelly. She told me, this is what we're going to do come General Conference. And I was like, wow, that's going to rock some boats about going, trying to go to the priesthood session. I couldn't go, so I helped send some support for women to go. And that really, really crushed me, the response that I saw. I actually had hoped that they would let the women in. I didn't see why a woman couldn't sit down in priesthood session. It just didn't make any sense to me when the men can sit in the women's sessions. I slowly got over that. And then this last General Conference, my friends, and these women have become my dear friends, they went again. And this time I thought, you know, I can feel all this hate that they're going through. And yet they're standing there smiling and they're singing hymns on the temple square of the church they love so much. They just want to serve more. And I thought, you know, the least I can do is say something here that I support them. So I just posted one thing that just, all it said was ordainwomen.org on my Facebook page. And unfortunately, had a lot of pain because of that. People have known for the last 6 months that my husband has left and my 19-year marriage is now over. And people who never even tried to see how I was doing in the ward or that has known me for a long time in the church jumped on. And the only time I heard from them was this day. And they yelled all capital letters. They called us tools of Satan, said that we didn't know what the gospel was, that we should know our place and quit trying to oppose the prophet. I was called apostate and that I had chosen to be against the Lord. And it got kind of nasty. I try to keep it really gentle and just, you know, it's okay. We can just share our thoughts and have open dialogue, but I finally said, let's not use this kind of language. Let's just have open dialogue and discuss. And I told them about the Walmart story, you know, and I cried again when I typed that up. I was like, I can share this with my friends. I mean, here's a chance for me to share something. And this was a spiritual experience for me. And it was so hateful, the response I got back. And I finally just said, thank you for the dialogue. And it's getting a little bit too emotional. And then I got told that it was my fault that it was too emotional because the whole context is emotional. So I just said, thank you. And I just deleted the thread. And I made a choice that day. And I sat down and I cried and I went through my friend list on Facebook and I just unfriended anyone that attacked me because I was so hurt that they felt like they were justified in attacking me, that even though I loved them so much, I didn't feel like I could handle one more attack, especially with my divorce happening right now. So I do not consider them not my friend. I just need some distance. And I hope that everybody's in a better place in the near future and things just kind of get mended. So it was very hard. And my daughter saw me go through that. And she was very, very upset about it too.
Cammy, I'm so sorry that it went like that. It just doesn't need to be like this.
It doesn't. And I understand where people are coming from, because to break the mold on a thought is so challenging that to strike out is so natural. I get that. I'm just not in a place where I can handle that right now because of everything else going in my life. It's left me pretty raw. So I've just had to take a step back and take care of myself so that I could take care of my life.
I'm so happy that you trusted yourself enough to do that. But I am so sorry that you were met with so much anger.
I don't blame them. I'm not mad at them.
Tell.
I really love them. I just don't want to be attacked right now. So that's all. They're still my friends. They're my brothers and sisters.
Right. You know, I really love this. And I know that the person I heard it from was Elder Cook, but he says we should listen to learn and love and understand. And I think these will help people try to understand. I really think they will. I think they're a good thing. I think they're a great idea.
Yeah, I think it's great that we can talk about different dialogue without there being a feeling of that the whole structure is being challenged, rather just talking and understanding. So, yeah.
So I have one more question for you.
Okay.
And I wanted to know about your hopes for ordained women. What do you hope will happen in the future? I can tell from listening to you that some of what you hope is that we'll get some more understanding and some more listening. And I'm grateful for that. But can you tell me some more about what you hope?
Well, I think the larger scheme is that if we can open this up, I see a bigger vision than just ordaining women. First of all, there are so many branches of the church that would automatically become wards because they are only lacking male priesthood holders that can lead create it into a ward. And so immediately you'll have wards branching up because you have half of the church able to help with that responsibility. I think it would be an amazing thing for women to be able to stand in the blessing circle and bless their children. And I don't know about you, but when I was married, my husband, it was like pulling teeth and saying, will you go get a blessing? Because they need one. And just as a wife, to be able to go, let me just give you a blessing of comfort. So those are some beautiful things I see. I also see the potential, and I think the larger ramification of this, is that we will finally be in a position where our hearts are open to discover and understand our Heavenly Mother. And I think this is an identity for women and girls that needs to happen for us to be whole as a church. That's my opinion. I think that combining the male and the female in deity and understanding both, that they're both not silent, they're both there, gives a greater sense of destiny for the women and the girls in the church and gives them a greater empowerment to actually see themselves doing the things that our Heavenly Mother does. So that's my larger picture. I think it will really open that door. And from these podcasts, I hope that people's anger and hostility will just melt away and that people can just see that it's just a different perspective. And I don't want to be bishop, but I wouldn't mind. I think it would be beautiful to give a blessing to my visiting sister when I go see her and she needs one. So,
folks, wow. Yeah. That's really beautiful. Wow. Well, you know, I see as sisters, us creating space for someone to feel seen and heard and loved. And I want us to declare our table, our bench at church, the place where we sit. I want us to declare it safe. That's what I want. That's what I dream. And I love the things that you've just said. I'm really touched. They really give me a lot to think about. I just want you to know that.
Thank you, Vicki. Thank you so much for just being so filled with love and that we can meet like this. I think it was meant that we were supposed to do this first one together. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You've got some keys.